Right now, though, this is we just described this morning's show as especially this hour, the Sharon Show. We just got finished speaking on the telephone about a great program which is coming up at the Hotchkiss Library in Sharon with Jurgen Kahwa on the movie Patton. Now we get to speak about another gem that's in Sharon other than the Hotchkiss Library, and that is the Sharon Audubon Center. We have the director, Eileen Fielding, joining us this morning. Eileen, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for the invitation.
Sharon Audubon, I have to tell you, years and years and years and years and years ago, a guy by the Marshall Case, ran the Audubon. And it was my first exposure to Audubon. And I don't think, even though my family's lived here for years, even back then, the depth and width of what Sharon Audubon Center means to our area, and it's only grown over the years with the acquisition of the Miles property over on Calkinstown Road as well. So I want to talk a little bit about the first thing. First is that in my notes here, it says that Sharon Audubon is coming upon your fundraising in May. And what most people, I still think, don't realize to this day is that you make your own budget. It's your money. You are the ones that really are responsible for keeping what goes on at Sharon Audubon going on.
Yeah, absolutely. We are a part of the National Audubon Society, as most people know, but Sharon Audubon and the Miles Sanctuary traditionally do all they can. We do all we can to raise our own budget, and we are fortunate to be in a community that is interested in what we do and supports what we do. So we do hold our biggest annual fundraiser in May called Raptors and Riesling, and that's what's coming up right now.
And that program is what, probably about five, six years old?
Yep. And it was the invention of our local advisory board. We have a wonderful local board that really took this idea and ran with it. And it's essentially become the sort of signature Memorial Day weekend kickoff summer garden party in Sharon, in a beautiful setting right at the Sharon Audubon Center. You know, it's when our gardens are just starting to bloom, and it's just getting to be a wonderful time to be outdoors. And it is great wine, great food, great company, and large birds of prey mingling with the crowd, which is sort of our unique signature on a garden party. And of course, last year and again this year, we're going to have to do it virtually, which involves a little creativity, but that we managed to pull it off.
Yeah. Now is this event virtual again this year?
It's virtual again this year, simply because we decided it would be a little early to ask 200 or 300 people to gather together in close proximity under a tent when we're supposed to be eating, drinking, and talking together. We're not quite ready for that. So the socializing part of the event is going to be virtual. But one thing I want to make really clear, because I think not everybody knows this, when we say that the center is closed, all we mean is that our main building is closed and our grounds are open. So people can come and visit the aviaries and, you know, have sort of a close one-on-one experience with our birds of prey. And they can walk the gardens, walk the trails. That's all still perfectly open to everyone. So if someone participates in Raptors and Riesling as a sponsor, we're very happy to arrange a small group encounter sort of on an individual basis with our birds. We're just not going to do it in a big crowd. So, yes, virtual, but remember there's a do-it-yourself component where you can come and visit the center also.
By the way, if people want more information on this, sharon.audubon.org/events, and when you get there, you'll see the link to go to the different events, and you scroll down to the virtual Raptors and Riesling, and there's a little a place where you can just click and register right there. You know, Sharon Audubon is a lot, we are a lot like Sharon Audubon, is that most people see us as an NPR station, thinking that we get money from NPR, and it's totally different. For us to do what we have to do, we have to raise the bulk of our money locally. And I've always appreciated the fact that people, no matter, it seems, no matter what demographic they're in, they love the Sharon Audubon Center. And the thing that I always loved about going to events there, and even just going there on a weekend, is that families can come there and walk the trails with kids that are in strollers and with grandparents that might have to be in wheelchairs, because it's the trails that you have there are not only for people who can walk perfectly, but you've got trails that every member of everybody's family can enjoy.
Yeah, we like to think that, and we're working on making that better, that kind of access, so that people have even more places to go easily when they come here. Part of the charm is that some of these trails are a little rough and a little rocky, and you have to be a little adventurous, but you can certainly access our gardens and our aviaries pretty easily, and we want to be able to extend that access. I like your comparison with your radio station and NPR. Our relationship with National is quite a bit like that, in that most of our activity is local, but because we're an Audubon Center, we also have access to the national and international programs and influence that the National Audubon Society has. So it's sort of the best of both worlds.
Now, while we talk about the center is closed, that's just a building. People can go there and walk the trails and take a look at what's going on. We are in that season now, and even if you're not a bird person, I found out in this area, even if you don't know anything about birds, everybody seems to notice when that first bird returns to their yard in the springtime.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And one of the things that's really fun about working here is that we hear about all this. People will see birds and they don't know what a particular bird is, and they'll contact us. And that's one of the ways that, besides the fact that we're out birding ourselves, of course, but that's one of the ways that we're tracking the wildlife traffic and the bird traffic coming through this area. And it's really wonderful to hear what people are seeing.
And right now we are really full. Is it full blown, or is it towards the end of the spring migration for birds?
Oh, it's just revving up right now. Yeah, there have been birds that have been arriving for a few weeks now. So, the winter wrens are here. The Louisiana water thrushes are here. The palm warblers are coming through. The pine warblers are coming through. But the big wave is just about to hit us, mid-May and late May. All those birds that winter either in the southern U.S. or in the Caribbean or in Central and South America, they are headed for the forests of the Northeast, because this is a really great place for them to nest and raise their young. Or they're headed farther north into the Canadian forest or the tundra, and they're all coming through in the next several weeks. So for the folks who are who have just started to get interested in birds, maybe because they've been at home looking out their windows more than usual, it's going to get really exciting, and we are holding bird walks for beginners so that people can start to get a handle on what they're seeing.
When my mother built her second house, a log cabin on Smith Hill Road in Sharon, when she built it, out in front of it, in front of her porch in the yard, she installed, probably about 20 yards away from each other, three evergreen trees, and there's one huge regular tree. And she did it in the mind because she loves to feed birds. And it's so amazing the coverage and that it gives the birds, that you can walk out. When I used to live there, and I used to walk out to go to work at 5 o'clock in the morning, and you hear the different bird calls from the different evergreen trees and from the regular trees. It really is pretty spectacular around here.
Oh, yeah, and I should mention, for people who are starting to try to figure out birds, a lot of the time, especially, for example, a singing evergreen tree, we hear all these wonderful songs and birds are somewhere in the tree. Sometimes you learn the birds not so much by what they look like, but you just start learning the songs. And if you recognize a song, that tells you there's an interesting bird in there that you should be looking for, and sometimes that leads you to the sighting. And luckily, there are some wonderful birding apps now that people can use. Although, you know, of course, we feel there's no substitute for all going out together with someone who knows the birds. But that can help you learn some of those songs, and you detect a lot more birds that way.
Well, once again, our speaking this morning to Eileen Fielding, director of the Sharon Audubon Center. Once again, the building is closed, but the center is open if you'd like to get out there, stretch your legs, and can really walk there. But also, their big fundraiser is coming up on May 30th. That is a Sunday. The Raptors and Riesling, and you can go to sharon.audubon.org, click on their calendar, and then click on that, and you can register for that event. That is a big fundraiser coming up that they do every year. And hopefully this summer, maybe we'll get even more back to normal, where some of the things that go on at Audubon will even expand once again this summer.
Oh, yeah, we expect so, because so much of what we're about happens outdoors. That gives us a lot of scope to get right back to normal as soon as possible.
Well, Eileen, once again, thanks for joining us this morning. And we hope to have you on as a regular guest here every month or so, just keeping us updated what's going on.
That would be great. Thanks so much, Marshall.
All right, take care.
You too.
Once again, Sharon Audubon Center, sharon.audubon.org on the web.